This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
It's 9 minutes to eight. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean, and people have been doing well with Real OG, Rach.
Yes. If you don't know what we're talking about, it's this song right here. In our defense,
silence. If you think you know the title of that song,
send us a message, 0427 569 949.
Or you can email onair@joy.org.au. We need the title of the song, the name of the artist performing the cover version of the song,
and who is the real OG.
Now, earlier in the week, we dipped our toes into the lush fox turf that is tennis with the Australian Open serving for almost a week now.
Yes, we had so much fun chatting with self-confessed tennis tragic Dimitra Giannakopoulos that we couldn't wait to get her back onto Joy Breakfast to not only give us an update on what's happening in the actual tennis, but also a vocabulary lesson, because what is a bagel besides a delicious pre-game treat? Thank you for coming back.
Good morning. Oh, my God. Are we like bleary-eyed or what? There's midsummer. There's AO.
Everything's going on.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? There's one thing I haven't been able to get out of my mind since our chat on Monday. We had in our intro a variety of words related to tennis. I've just got to ask, what in relation to tennis does unseated mean? Because everyone's been asking me.
Do you want the real answer?
Yeah, the real
or a
made
answer.
Up answer?
Well,
I'll believe real. Anything you say.
Oh, so. Okay, great. Wow, this is fun. Well, a seeding means that a player is ranked. Now, there are rankings, which is their year-round success, which, you know, you hear number one in the world and whatever. That's a ranking. Mm-hmm. For each tournament, though, they seed the players because sometimes not all the players are going to attend. And at the Australian Open, the best 32 players who turn up to play are seeded 1 to 32. And they're spread across the draw with the plan that all things going well, that the best players end up playing principally in the quarterfinals or a little bit earlier. So as you get into what we're coming up to the second week, you're getting the best players in the world meeting each other.
It feels like a bit of a lucky dip the way you're describing it. Like they kind of just throw it all together and
see who rises
to the top.
It is a lucky dip / Hunger Games if you're not seeded because as we see, you know, and one of the earlier matches, you have a very highly ranked or seeded player playing against a newbie. One player who actually got in through qualify, so she had to play a tournament to get into this tournament, she got thrashed and was in tears. You know, it was over within a few minutes, so it was pretty sad.
Oh, no.
I know, but still, you know what, good on them for being there, for absolutely playing, but it is really full on.
I do have a question about that. How does a tennis game end? So we know that tournaments can go on for days and days and days, but you just said hers was over in a few minutes and was thrashed.
Well, this is, I think, one of the most interesting things about tennis is the scoring. It could never end, and they have to introduce rules to make it end. So the scoring, it's not like, I mean, you're now a soccer expert, right? You have 90 minutes plus, you know, that extra time, and it's all over, Ed Rover.
And whoever's got the most points is the winner.
Exactly right. Whereas with tennis, you have to achieve a particular score, and it's good to think of twos. You have to be either 2 points ahead to win a game, or two games ahead to win a set. And for example, if it's a three-set match, such as for the women, you have to win two out of the three sets. So if you win the first two, it's over, Red Rover.
And this is why the games go till all hours of the night.
Yeah.
And interrupt my TV watching schedule.
Precisely. And what a relatively new introduction is, and we saw this play out yesterday, is that it used to be for the final and deciding set, you'd still have to win two games ahead. So there were games a few years ago that would go for 4 hours. I mean, there's the women's games that would go for 4 hours.
Whereas
they've introduced the tiebreak, and in the final set, it's called a super tiebreak where you go to 10 points, but you still need to be two ahead. However, yesterday, and we'll talk about this because this was a big upset, the deciding tiebreak went to 22-2. 22 points. It took half an hour to finish off.
Wow.
And like you could, you've been playing for 2.5 hours and seriously, you can win or lose a match within the space of 2 points.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
All right. We're going to find out more about what happened yesterday right after this. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean. It's 5 minutes to 8.
Joy.
It is 3 minutes to 8. We are getting our tennis fever on, and no, that is not contagious in an infectious way.
But it is hot, hot, hot on the court with tennis tragic Demetra joining us today in the studio.
It is infective.
It is infective. Yes, but you can't die from it.
You've caught the AO.
I think of all the things that you can catch, it's not the worst. And maybe we're just ball boys and we're catching them all.
Oh, gotta catch them all.
You are brilliant.
Thank you. Demetra, you said yesterday was quite the game. Who was playing yesterday and how did it end up?
Wow. Well, it was one of the favourites, Elena Rybakina, one of my personal favourites, absolute champion. She was a finalist last year and she got knocked out by a woman called Blinkova. She did not blink. Like, there's the puns.
No blinking at all.
No blinking at all. She and Rybakina, to her credit, she steps up. When she's under the pump, she steps up, takes it to another level. So that was a major upset. So she was one of the potential who could win it. So, but she's out now.
Oh, wow.
This is why it's so full on, like, just to think you could make one wrong move or just be paired up against someone who is the superior player and you're gone.
You're gone, exactly.
All that work to come and play.
It could be your day. I mean, this is the thing with tennis. It can be your day. And that's it.
Like, just imagine you've woken up, you've got your period, you're like, oh, period pain, and all of a sudden you lose the whole Australian Open because your tummy hurts.
It's really interesting you say that because that is a factor.
That's a really valid point.
Yeah, and we're certainly talking about it more in, you know, women's sport in general, certainly soccer, you know, has been having a great discussion about that. But many years ago, Justine Henin-Hardin, one of great champions, played against Emily Maresmo and... Enin had to forfeit earlier and we didn't quite get to the bottom of why, and there was one theory maybe. So, and that was losing the final. So.
Wow. See, that's a huge deal. We're going to get into more of the finals fever with you after the news.
Yeah, Demetra, you're not going anywhere. We want more tennis talk.
But we're also going to need a vocabulary lesson because there are words, not just the players' names, that are being thrown out there that Dean and I are like, delicious treat.
Absolutely.
You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean, joined by self-confessed tennis tragic Demetra Giannakopoulos.
Thanks, Anuska. We thought, I know you were getting up off your chair ready to run away again, but we
never
thought...
Never get out of here.
Yeah, you never can. We're going to do a little bit of a game since we also have Demetra here and we're talking a little bit of tennis. Do you know anything about tennis, Anuska?
No.
Oh, great. So we are in brilliant company between the three of us. I have picked a couple of crazy tennis terms and we need to try and guess what they are and Demetra can let us know how close we are or not. Mm-hmm. All right. The first one I'm going to put out there is a bagel.
Well, obviously, it's the delicious pregame snack that I keep talking about.
I wouldn't want it to be anything else.
I just feel like maybe it's when they kind of like hit the ball through and it goes through the racket.
Oh,
like so it and makes the racket into a bagel. That's my take. Yeah.
That's smart.
Very close. All
really?
I just want to know, what do you have on your bagel?
Well, it depends what flavour bagel it is.
Are we going savoury or sweet?
I love both. So I like to do a... And we're not mentioning name brands, but it has a lot of yeast in it and it's been around in this country for 100 years. Rhymes with smeggy much.
Oh. I was like, bagels have a lot of yeast in them.
I love. Yeah, very yum.
That's a naturalist. There mm-hmm. we are. Yeah. Well, a double bagel. Your bagel, just a bagel.
Yeah.
Well, it's the slang term for if you score zero or love in a game.
Oh.
So if you hear 6-0 or 6-love, which is the correct terminology, is a bagel. You're really in trouble if you do what's called a double bagel, which is 6-love, 6-love, and you're out.
Oh, that's not good.
Cruel.
What do we reckon a goat is in tennis terms?
I mean, all sports goats are like the greatest of all time, right?
Well, I didn't think of it like that. I thought of it like, you know how they grunt a lot with tennis? Like, and it's when it's like, like kind of a bit of a squeal. That was my take. What do you think, Rach?
I just thought it was the little massage people who come out because goats do really good massages. If you lay on the ground, they'll just come and walk on your back.
Could we get one of those for Joy Brekkie?
Yes, please. Let's thank put that you in the budget, in the budget for yep. this year.
So what is a goat?
Well, I initially thought it was because they all leap around quite a lot. And I thought, well, if they're really good at leaping, they're a goat. And then finally I saw one with the dots. And Anushka's correct. It's an yes. acronym for greatest of all
yay.
Time.
Oh, yay.
Well
yeah.
done.
Which
there's
is a controversial
news. There we are. News. I mean, my yeah. basketball knowledge.
Well, and you know, there's a raging debate about who the goats are. You know, they vary between the eras, and at the moment we're seeing an era, particularly amongst the men, of greatest of all time.
Billy.
Last but not least, Puddler.
Oh, I know this one. It's when the person is so nervous that they wet themselves on the court and it just creates a little bit of a puddle.
I just thought it was going to be a severe sweat situation that they created a puddle. So we're definitely in the same vein. One's a little, well, they're both pretty unhygienic, actually, when we think about it. Rach is probably more hygienic than mine. What do you reckon, Anushka?
Look, I'd be happy with either of those outcomes. Yeah, I know going back to basketball that there's, you know, somebody whose job it is to, like, mop up the sweat when people, like, fall on the ground.
Oh, my gosh, that's a real thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Wow.
So I'm going to go with the sweat.
The sweat, yeah.
Look, I
is it
piss or sweat? You're all correct. I think you're all correct because I have no idea what a puddle is.
Oh, you don't know.
So I'm going with there's a leak in the roof and there's a puddle on the court and they have to bring out the special equipment to get rid of the puddle.
Okay, all right, well, squeegee.
We're going to find out exactly what a puddler is and we're going to come back with more tennis talk with the one and only Demetra. You're on Joy Brekkie with Rach and Dean.
Thanks for playing along. This is You Should Be Sad, but no, you shouldn't because we love Halsey.
And it's a Friday.
Joy.
I see quite a few of them actually at the top of the stadium right now. They just want to hang out. Oh, he's coming down again.
Hope he's not coming for a Scotsman.
He is just absolutely chilling.
I certainly don't want to see him reproduce that meal when he's above me. Anyone got an umbrella, guys?
Ladies and gentlemen, because of the delay between first and second serve, first serve.
I mean, how are we going to get this guy out of here?
All right, we need to know, Demetra, what is that all about? It's 10 minutes past 8 and we are having a tennis chat with a self-confessed tennis tragic, Demetra.
Although you did stump me, so I think you're going to get the crown for tennis expert. It's a name for an inexperienced player who hits plenty of, like, chip, so pushes the ball back and drop shots, so really confounds your opponent. I call that crafty old lady tennis.
Oh, the puddler.
The puddler. That was, we were playing a game before. That's what the puddler means for everyone that was keeping in the know. Rach played a little bit of audio just now from some crazy shenanigans that took over the tennis court this week.
Yeah, we need to know what is going on at the AO and why are they starting rounds again, first serve again? What does that even mean? Why?
Well, look, you know, we know what seagulls are like, but maybe the international guests don't know. The seagulls wanted to be part of the action. They were literally swooping down onto the players in the middle of play and interrupting play. So,
well, why were the players holding chippies on the field?
Yeah, the exactly. food thing, I think, is the bit that threw me the most. Like, was the seagull throwing up on the tennis court or something?
I think there's a concern that once they've eaten the chippies, you know how quick their digestive system works. True. And, you know, and they like, and I don't know about you, but I think seagulls actually like to use targets.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, agreed.
So, and it's not front end, it's a back end.
No, and some of those players are wearing fluoro, so it'd be really easy for the seagulls to find their target.
Oh, radiating absolutely. Fire. Well, I think what's funny as well, imagine how quiet a tennis game is. Like, everyone's got to be quiet or else you get ejected if you're making any noise. And I just think in the background, and just dipping and diving.
How has it affected the finals results? Do you think it's made an impact on
the seagulls?
Yeah.
For sure, absolutely, because it's going to test the concentration of the players. Now, you heard the reference to they can get the first serve. So in tennis, you have two serves, two goes. So if you get a fault in the one, you've got a second go. I think that's a bit of an indulgence nowadays, but anyway, that's just my bit. But if they're interrupted in between their first and second serve, they can reset and take a first serve. But I think it can throw you off, because tennis is a mental game.
Absolutely. Now, I always love to pay a bit of attention to the fashion on the field when it comes to any sporting scenario. You are sporting right now a fabulous rainbow-themed tennis T-shirt, which I absolutely love, saying game, set, love in the pride colours. Has there anyone whose outfit has just been bedazzling on the tennis court?
My favourite, well, there's two actually, and they did play each other in the first round. So Naomi Osaka went for a total, like, it's like a vinyl look, rainbow hued, almost like mother of pearl look.
Ooh.
Oh my God, it looked so gorgeous. That was my favourite. And in the first round, she played against Caroline Garcia, a French player, and it had this sort of different sort of wavy, broad, you know, bright colours, a beautiful royal blue with some yellow. So they're really doing well. And of the men, Grigor Dimitrov, who's a Bulgarian player, and he had a fabulous match yesterday against Thanasi Kokkinakis, a homegrown boy.
I'm just impressed by you being able to say all the names properly.
Do you think their outfits affect the way that they play? The more confident they feel in their outfit, the better they play?
Well, if you listen carefully to the players, they talk about the 1%. So they're always looking for the 1% improvement in their game.
Oh.
And, you know, at that elite level, everything counts.
Yeah.
I have no doubt, absolutely no doubt, if you are rocking it with your outfit,
absolutely,
you're going to rock it on the court.
If you're looking good and feeling good, you're going to rock it, absolutely. Now, last but not least, before we let you go and get your tennis on, I hear there's some romance happening at the AO.
Should we
There's one particular tree that I've been having special relationship with, so to say, in the last 15 years. But that particular tree, I cannot reveal which one. No, I'm trying to keep it, you know, discreet for myself when I'm there to have my own time. And I just like to connect, ground myself and connect with that old friend.
It was the love that dare not speak its name until this year.
Well, I think we're getting an insight to the mind of a champion, because this is Novak Djokovic, of course. Mm. He is a GOAT. We talked about GOATs.
Yep.
He is a GOAT. We could have this debate. We could go the whole rest of the show about that debate. But he was talking about a very beautiful looking tree. There are pictures of this tree that has the one of those trees with the roots outside of the ground and the branches sort of do the loop the loop. In fact, it reminds me of the tree that Buddha sits under in all those images. So he's talking about how he keeps going and seeing this tree and meditating with this tree.
Yeah, he said he's having a love affair with it for 15 years.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a long committed relationship. It's better than any homosexual.
Nothing's been that long for me.
Well, look, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. But, you know, again, the complexities of a champion, because just the other night, you know, he gets a lot of heckling from the audience. And just the other night, he actually turned to an audience member and asked the audience member to come down and say what you said to my face. He wanted to have a bit of a fisticuffs with him on the court. So on the one hand, he's meditating by the Bodhi tree. And on the other hand, he's calling up fights. And, of course, he's absolute devastating on the tennis court. So there we are, the complexity of a champion.
You know what? There it is. Well, you know what, Demetra? Have a smashing weekend. And thanks so much for sharing the tennis love set match with us this morning on the show.
And we can't wait for more Ace Tennis Talk next week. We're going to find out just who is making it into those finals.
It'll be a smash. So we're ready for our update next week.
We'll know who's been seeded.
Wonderful.
Or unseeded. Oh, who knows?
They're currently unseeded, right?
Half and half. Yeah, it's a good mix at the moment.
Things are getting seedy. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean. Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.